Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 7, 1891 to 1892. 1891. Letters. Fulton, John. Burke, brother. Battle Creek, Michigan. March 20, 1891. Dear brethren Fulton and Burke, we have had a deeply interesting conference. Brother and Sister McClure will tell you of the interesting points of the meeting. I attended all the morning meetings except three, and spoke to the ministers with great freedom. The Lord has been in our midst, and we have seen of His salvation. I never attended a general conference where there was manifested as much of the Spirit of the Lord in the study of His Word as on this occasion. Meeting after meeting was held for 3 weeks. Each morning there was a meeting at 5:30 for the ministers, and these were special seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. These ministers' meetings were of a solemn character. There was depth of feeling, thanksgiving, and praise offered to God for His precious blessing bestowed in the searching of His Word. The Ministerial Institute was a season of close searching of the Scriptures. The doors of hearts were not barred with iron, lest rays of light should penetrate the darkened chambers of the mind, and the sanctifying power should cleanse and refine the soul temple. Right in the midst of their study during the past winter, there have been times where there was not a question with the class, but that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, was doing its work. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Luke 24, verse 45. And the precious oracles were to them verily the voice of God. Hearts were affected, and they praised God with weeping and rejoicing. Rich and precious testimonies were born, and they went forth to labor, trusting to be made efficient by the agency of the Holy Spirit. There are greater blessings for us to enjoy. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. I am made glad in the Lord, that He has wonderfully strengthened and blessed me, and that I could bear the testimony He has given me to bear. We see the need of more devoted laborers. The prayer should go forth from unfeigned lips for the God of the harvest to raise up laborers for an increase of Christian instrumentality. The harvest of the world is to be reaped through the heavenly instrumentality cooperating with human agencies. In proportion as the agency is increased under the superintendency of holy messengers from heaven, will be the extent of the harvest reaped. The prayer of Christ just prior to the crucifixion was, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and they in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." John 17, verse 20 to 23. It is the drawing apart from one another that is so displeasing to Jesus Christ that He cannot do much for us. Self-love, self-esteem, self-sufficiency, self-glorification, and love of praise so fills the soul that there is no room for Jesus. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This will be the work diligently done for the Master, that we may become vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I am so thankful that we may be constantly and wholly the Lord's. In every institution in our land, there are slumbering energies that would be aroused could men and women sense the times in which we live and the great responsibilities and possibilities with them if they will develop the faculties with which the Lord has endowed them. Oh, there are many sleepy, dull, listless Christians who need enthusiasm and inspiration to come to them as they view the cross of Calvary. Beholding Jesus in his life, and in his self-denial and self-sacrifice, in his exhibition of compassion and tender, pitying love, breaks down the barriers of selfishness in themselves, and they become enthused. By beholding, they become changed into the divine image, and this makes men strong, full of zeal, and develops all their entrusted capabilities that, like Jesus, they will not fail nor be discouraged.
What we need is more of the mind of Christ and a great deal less of self. As these possibilities in the human agents imbued by the Spirit of Christ have been presented to me, I have been shown that we must preserve harmony and unity in Jesus Christ. The drawing away from one another is of Satan. The pressing together is of God. In short, we do not try as a people to answer the prayer of Christ. If one does not exactly meet our line and plummet in measurement, then there is dissatisfaction, dissension, Phariseeism, and self-righteousness that leads to the drawing apart. Human passions, human prejudices are entertained and treasured as if precious pearls. All this want of love is a stumbling block to our own souls, making it impossible for us to grow up to the full stature in Christ Jesus, our living head. Is it not time that we were striving earnestly for this fullness which is in Christ Jesus, and that self should be crucified? Come, O my soul, to Calvary needs to be practiced as well as sung. We are found behind, loitering, when we ought to be pressing forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Running the race with patience, for what? An immortal crown? An inheritance that is imperishable? We want human passions to work with human passions. But these passions must be sanctified. Then they are mighty agencies, because the sympathetic sympathies of Christ are interwoven with the life experience and wins its way to open hard hearts. We want Jesus abiding in our hearts by living, simple, earnest, persevering faith. Coldness of temperament can sparkle like an iceberg, but will never melt hard hearts. We want a divine and tender sympathy, then, in Christ. You can do, dare, and suffer, and not in vain. The heart gives that which neither gold nor silver can buy. But when the heart is softened and broken, it gives forth its fragrance like the alabaster box full of precious ointment, and its sweet odor perfumes the whole room. May the Lord give us more close and clear views of Jesus Christ, that we may catch his spirit and be full of his compassion and meekness and tender love. This will be the fullness of divine inspiration. Oh, that the Lord would hold before our vision the necessity of burning enthusiasm. Then we shall talk and act as though we meant all we say in reference to things of eternal interest. May the Lord teach and lead and guide you by his Holy Spirit at the health retreat, is the prayer of your sister.